And I forgot to push that start button, sorry. I don't know why it popped into my head right now. Anyways, so we're talking about how not to leave our children behind. Little review for the tape. How not to leave your children behind. And we talked about, well, if you're going to allow your children to do things that you don't even do, that's going to create problems. And now, putting more emphasis on the physical rather than the spiritual, you know, we're not of this world. Now, this might come as a shock to you. Years ago, I was out in Nebraska preaching. I was studying with a brother. I got advice a long time ago from an older preacher who I love dearly, kind of my mentor. And he always told me, he said, Chuck, whenever you move to a place, if you see some brethren there, they're good brethren, but they just need encouragement. They need to be strengthened. Set up a class with them. Have a class during the week, maybe a Monday night or whatever. Just set up a class with them and help them to get stronger. And I've always made it a policy to do that over the years. Well, this one gentleman, I said, hey, do you want to get together and have a Bible study? Help him, because he wasn't as consistent with his worship as he should be. And I just wanted to help him to get stronger, okay? Missing services is just a symptom of things. And so I wanted to help him get stronger. So we were having a Bible study, okay? And he told me that when his kids act up, do you know what he says? He says, when my kids act up, I says, if you don't straighten up, I'm taking you to Bible study. Do you imagine that? Okay, we'll toe the line, so we only have to go to worship. I mean, yikes. So I'm thinking, you're emphasizing the physical, and it's easy to fall into that trap, isn't it? You tell the kids, okay, come on, let's get ready for services. Okay, come on, get ready then. Then we'll go to McDonald's afterwards, or we'll go to Dairy Queen afterwards. Well, okay, if you're going to reward me, I want to be rewarded because I know how bad it is to go to church and study God and want to enjoy it. You've got to dangle a carrot in front of me, so I'm really going to go and enjoy it. See, we're missing the point here, aren't we? When you emphasize the physical over the spiritual, they're going to pick up on that. And maybe you even demonstrated it in your own life. And we have to watch out for that. And, you know, it happens in churches. What do you think happened at Corinth? There's a lot of reasons there are problems here. But look at this 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I like going to this because we often read this place, these verses in 20 and 21. But I'd like to back up. Look at, do you remember verse 17 and 18? Because Paul said, when you come together, he's telling the church, when you're coming together, it's not for the better, but it's for the worse. Churches can fall into the trap of emphasizing the physical over the spiritual. You can get into a Bible class. Michael, you got to watch this, because I had to tell a friend of mine. They'll get into a Bible class, you know, meet somebody for the very first time and start saying, oh, you got to love the church over there. We get together and we have potlucks all the time. We get together and have fun. What are you doing? What are you doing? You're dangling a carrot like you're going to really like being a Christian because we do a lot of fun things. You're missing it. You know, I love being a Christian. I have a sermon I preached at home. It's called Is it fun being a Christian? Is it fun being a Christian? Listen, nobody likes to tell jokes more than me. I like to have fun. But is it fun being a Christian? We got moms here. You got four kids. Hey, is it fun being a mom? She goes, it's a lot of hard work. Now, are there times you have fun? Yeah, there's times you have fun. But it's not fun. Getting up at 1 in the morning, we got the newborns. You got to feed them. Hey, is it fun being a Christian? Was it fun gathering around the table today? You know, there's something seriously wrong when a guy gets up to the table there and says, all right, boys, we're going to have some fun right now. Who wants to remember the Lord's death? That don't sound sacrilegious, doesn't it? It's terrible. I'm not having fun. Now, I enjoy getting together and worshiping God and singing God. I'm happy. I've got joy in my heart. We have that peace that passes all understanding. But there are times as a Christian, there's no joy in doing these certain things. There are times when we have fun as people. But we need to be careful because look at these brethren. What did they fall into the trap? He says in verse 20, therefore, when you come together in one place, it's not to eat the Lord's supper. Should have been. For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others, and one is hungry and another is drunk. Did Paul say, look, wait for one another? Do it together. No, he didn't say that. He said, what? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you. See, I don't want to leave my children behind because you don't want to know what my children needed more than anything. They needed the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yes, they did. They needed Bible teaching. That's what they needed. That's what they, you know, when we studied at home and a bedtime story was a Bible story. You know, people do all kinds of different things to help their children to understand what's really important. You don't want to leave your children behind? Then don't emphasize the physical over the spiritual. Yeah, you need the physical. Even Jesus said that. Man shall not live by bread alone. Was Jesus saying you don't need bread? No, he says you need bread, but not by bread alone. And so we need that spiritual nutrition. Children need to be taught the importance of the spiritual. And if they don't get that, if they get it out of balance, they get that out of balance, we're going to be in trouble. And the church here was getting into the social. Why do you think religious groups are doing that today? Because they realize how we're going to get them in. We'll get them in with the social. And children? Parents, we don't need to do that. Hey, you want to take your kids and go camping? Go camp. You want to have a pizza party? Have a pizza party. Nothing wrong with that. It's good. Get the kids to get together and have some fun. But we're not. The church isn't going to do it. We're not going to fund it. And I'll have more to say about that a little bit later. Go to Luke chapter 9 if you would. See, it's such a serious responsibility of bringing a child into this world, and we don't want to leave them behind. And we as parents just need to be mindful of what we can do to prevent that from happening. The best thing that we can do, but we know they're accountable, and there's no 100% guarantee. I'm not saying Adam and Eve raised Cain and Abel any differently. But in Luke chapter 9, we'll pick it up in verse 57, okay? Verse 57 says, "Now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, 'Lord, I will follow you wherever you go.' And Jesus said to him, 'Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head.' And he said to another, 'Follow me.' And he said, 'Lord, let me first go bury my father.' And Jesus said, 'Let the dead bury the dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God.' And to another said, 'Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house.' And Jesus said to them, 'No one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of heaven.'" Jesus was trying to get people to get their eyes off the physical and notice the spiritual. Get the priorities right. That's all he was talking about. I want to take my kids to where there are young people. Wherever we worked, the young people were our three kids. You know, and even I'm hearing about it today. You know, even the kids are grown and they have kids and they say, "You know, I want to take my kids, Dad, Mom and Dad, to where they're..." I said, "Well," we go, "Well, okay, but could this congregation use your talents?" I said, "You guys turned out okay. You guys turned out fine. You just, you know, you're wanting your kids, which you never have, but you know what they didn't have didn't hurt them, because as long as we get the priorities right." Did you ever stop and think about Matthew chapter 21 about, you know, that here were some people that were upset, and Jesus wanted him to rebuke the children, by the way. I really like this. In Matthew chapter 21 and in verse 12. Matthew 21 and in verse 12. "Then Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said to them, 'It is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves.' Then the blind and the lame came to the temple and he healed them. When the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple saying, 'Hosanna to Son of David,' they were indignant. And he said to him, 'Do you hear what these are saying?' And Jesus said to them, 'Yes. Have you never read, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise?'" Have you ever heard little kids just sing out? They're not on key, but they're just singing. Don't you? You got to love that. You know, at services, once in a while, you hear one of the little kids, when you say amen, you hear a little kid go, "Amen." You know, it just, where are they getting that from? They don't even understand what that meant. Did they understand, you know, Hosanna to David? You know, it's like they learned it from their parents. And you just have to love that. That the kids just enjoy learning. And, you know, when you get them in the car, would you learn in Bible class today? You know, you talk about it. But if we emphasize more of the physical than the spiritual, we're going to leave them behind, and we really don't want that to happen. Well, in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and in verse 15, I got to get going here. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, it says, the church is the pillar and the ground of truth. Number three is, a way that you can cause your children to be left behind is by putting the church in charge of making sure your children don't get left behind. Put the church in charge of that? You can't put the church in charge of that. Now, the church is the pillar and the ground of truth, obviously, and we provide opportunities to have Bible classes, and that's wonderful. But how much time do your children actually spend within these four walls? Most of the time is at home. Your influence on them. I did a sermon, it's probably been a month ago, and it was a sermon called, Parents, You Need to Homeschool Your Children. Now, you got to hear me out on this. It's not what you think. The sermon was, you need to homeschool. You need to teach your children at home about the Lord and the responsibilities, not what you're thinking, you know, of homeschooling. And I'm not against, you know, if people want to homeschool or send them to public school, but the point is, the sermon was to catch their attention. You need to homeschool your children. You need to teach them at home. And to put that all on the church? No, because we were singing about the responsibilities before I got up here from Ephesians chapter 6. Now, it's easy to sit back and say, well, I think you're just going to naturally be faithful Christians. That doesn't happen without effort. And we as parents, we need to nurture that. And that's what he says here in Ephesians chapter 6. He says, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Teach them to focus on heaven, the things that are important. Teach them about praying. These are things that are really, really vital to us. Now, quickly, as we go into number four. Number four is, it's a tough one. It has the word tough in it. You don't want to leave your children behind? Exercise tough love. Exercise tough love. It's hard. Our Father in heaven does it. I mean, our Father in heaven doesn't want anybody to perish. I know that. And so when you think about tough love, turn to Hebrews chapter 12. As you're turning over to Hebrews chapter 12, I labored for 3 years not too far from here. You guys don't know where Benton, Illinois is. So I was down there for 3 years. Homer loved him. He was in his 90s. I loved visiting Homer. And he loved to talk about his grandparents. He says, I spent a lot of time on the farm with my grandparents. And Homer told me one time, he says, Chuck, let me tell you something about my grandmother. One day I was out on the porch and she said, Homer, go get me some firewood. And I said, okay, Grandma, I'll do that in a little bit. And all of a sudden, wham, he got hit. And she goes, Homer, now. And he goes, you know what? I never forgot it. He said, I love my grandma. But she was tough as nails. And she loved me. And he knew that. But he understood that great lesson. And this is what you have here. I'm not endorsing bam across the head. Don't misunderstand me here. But I understand the idea of exercising tough love. In Hebrews chapter 12, we know he talks about the responsibility of discipline. Verse 6, whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. Verse 7, if you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? Now we can read more on that. I mean, it's interesting. You know, whenever I talk about parenting, you know, you talk about the parent who tells the child, you know, stop, 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 stop. Okay, go ahead. That's at that moment, the child became the parent, the parent became the child. You know, when the child knows that you're not going to exercise tough love, they understand when you're just a barker. They understand when you're just a yeller. That's why God is not mocked. God is not mocked. That's what Galatians chapter 6 says. Why is God not mocked? Because God says, you want to sin? Hey, suffer the consequences. Sin separates you from me. You know, and parents learn quickly about that. It's kind of like when a child does something wrong, and you say, okay, that's it. Give me your cell phone. You're not having it for a day. That's 2 days. That's 3. You want to go for 4, and the child goes, Because they're learning. Right?
You want to go for four?
See, you're staying calm. Do you want to go for four? Do you want to go for five? Keep it up. I'm not going to yell, scream. It's like parents reasoning with a two-year-old. I've told my kids. They all have kids. Well, the oldest and the youngest. I told them, I said, if you want to avoid controversy in the home, whenever you do something, I said, don't put it in question form. Please stop putting in question. Do you want to go to bed? Oh, great. Do you want to have a bath? Oh, great. You put it in question form. You're just setting yourself up for bedtime. Time for bath. That's it. But everybody wants to have a conversation with a two-year-old. You're going to reason with them? And see, God is not mocked. And I'm going to tell you this. True story. Remember the church. And to her own fault, she has said this. Daughter's grown, had kids, but was never held accountable. And every time she couldn't make a payment, the mom would bail her out. Give her money. Anytime she did something wrong, just gave her money. Gave her money. Never held her accountable for anything. Every time she got in debt, she'd pay it off. Did everything for this growing daughter. And that growing daughter has talked with me one-on-one and absolutely hates her mother. Now, you might sit there and think, well, that isn't right. Well, yeah, I know it's not right, but the point is, if you think not exercising tough love is going to gain the respect and love of your children, you are wrong. Why do we love and respect God? Because He cannot be mocked. He's not bailing us out and just overlooking transgression. I did a sermon on the prodigal son. If you go to the prodigal son and you read in Luke chapter 15, you say, Chuck, I have a lot of compassion, and that's good. But do you realize if you would have been out in that field and you saw that the state of that prodigal son where he was so hungry, he was feeding the swine, do you realize if you'd have given him something to eat, the worst thing in the world you could have done for him. The worst thing in the world. Learn the lesson of giving him nothing. Because when he got nothing, he came to himself and realized his dad, how good he was. He came to himself, repented. But if you'd have given him something, he wouldn't have come to himself. So if you think catering means they're going to love me more, you're wrong. They'll just want more. And they'll want more. And they'll want more. And they're not going to stand on their own 2 feet. And so, right here, our responsibility is to exercise tough love. Work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. That's what God wants us on the spiritual side. And we want our children to mature. Now, I touched on this briefly. I've got time for this last point. And I'm going to go to Proverbs 31. Got to go to Proverbs 31. This is perfect. Proverbs 31. Do you guys remember this talking about the virtuous woman? Do you remember verse 28? It says, her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Now, we're talking about the children right now. And we're talking about providing that, and I touched on it just slightly, but providing that example. Because they get up and call her blessed. You read about this virtuous woman. You talk about a selfless mom. A selfless mom. Putting their children first. And I'm going to tell you, nothing will create more problems with raising children is when they see inconsistency in a parent. I know a gentleman who was an elder within the church. Took his kids fishing. I know this happened because the kids told our kids. Took them fishing, the game warden's coming. Not allowed to use live bait. They were using live bait. Game warden says to the dad, who's the elder, you guys using live bait? No, sir. The kids are like, going, what was that? Kids aren't faithful. They're gone. He's not an elder anymore, obviously. Let me tell you something. Kids are smart, and they pick up on inconsistencies. And nothing will do more damage in leaving your children behind of seeing the inconsistency. The inconsistencies that I grew up with, of course, I didn't grow up in a Christian home, but the inconsistency I grew up with, I mean, we literally get soap put in our mouth for using foul language. How often do you think I heard foul language? Every day. I'm thinking, I'm punished. I'm just repeating what I've heard my dad say every day. And I'm being punished for it? Yeah, that didn't set well. And of course, Jesus was the perfect example. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 1, he talks about the things that he said and the things which he did. Jesus was consistent. We as parents need to be consistent in our lives. I'll give you one more, and our lesson's about done, and our time is gone. And you've been very patient. I appreciate that. But in Proverbs 17 and verse 6, I'm passionate about this because you got to love children. I love being around kids. Love being around kids. But I think about them and the future of the local church and how much we need to be mindful of that. And in Proverbs chapter 17 and in verse 6, children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children is their father. You know, when I'm around grandkids, I love being around them. Can't be around them enough, right, guys? You can't be around them enough. And they might talk about their achievements and stuff. But we really want them to become Christians, don't we? We wanted our children to become Christians. Folks, if you'll indulge me, I'll just read the headlines on this. I could give you verses for this. But I'm going to give you 11 things quickly. Based on the passage in Ephesians chapter 6, don't provoke your children to wrath. Don't provoke them to wrath. Well, you say, well, Chuck, what would cause me to provoke my children to wrath? Okay, I'm going to give them to you quickly. Number one, punish them for something they didn't do. So make sure you get the facts. Nothing will make a child angry with you more unjustly if you punish them for something they didn't do. Two, be inconsistent with your punishment. You punish them one minute, the next minute you're doing the same thing, and you don't punish them for it. They're like, now they're really confused. And the next time when you punish them, they're going to really be angry because I'm saying, I don't even know what's up anymore. One minute you're punishing me for it, the next minute you're not. Third, only criticize and never compliment. Parents, love them, hug them, encourage them, praise them, okay? But understand that if all we do is criticize and complain all the time, that's going to create anger. Belittle and make fun of them. Fifthly, make unreasonable demands. Your five-year-old, take that freezer downstairs. That's humorous. Obviously, they can't. Same idea, though. Make demands on your children that they can't do. Nothing will make them more angry at you unjustly. And that's what God says. Don't provoke them to wrath. Sixthly, administer unjustified punishment. That was mine, by the way. The overreactor. Okay? But, you know, unjustified punishment. Be careful of that. Punish them for things you did as a parent. I just talked about that. Eight, literally show favoritism with your children. You want to create problems? Now, I know when our kids get together, you know, because we had Nathan, Jen, and Leah. Boy, you get together over the holidays, it's kind of like, oh, Nathan was the favorite, or Leah, the baby, was the favorite. You know, you'll hear that. And we keep telling them, there's no favorites. But if it's obvious, and you literally play favorites, it's going to create problems. Allow disobedience to go unpunished. Train by leaving them on their own. You give them no guidelines. You make your own decisions. That'll frustrate them. And lastly, treat your children as an inconvenience. Like they're in the way all the time. There used to be a joke around our house, you know, Dad would say, go play in traffic. You know, I think he was trying to be funny. But the point is, if kids are an inconvenience, I mean, I remember one time years ago where a guy says, him and his wife says, hey, I want to take you golfing. Well, okay. And the kids, it was in the evening. They'd been in daycare, and then they throw them into evening daycare. And the kids were screaming and crying, I want to be with mommy and daddy. Hey, kids, go. We want to do our thing. Treat them like an inconvenience. Yeah, that'll provoke your children. As you can see, folks, grave responsibility. But we're thankful for the guidance that's been given us from God's Word to bring our children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I love seeing and hearing kids. I tell them at services, you know, I hear the kids crying. Don't worry, I can get over top of their voices. Don't worry about that because you want to bring them. You train them early. They get used to that. It isn't very long where they're listening and they want to sing. And they might not be singing the words, but they're singing. And they're learning to bow their heads. And parents are teaching them to love the Lord because they see your love for the Lord. Again, I didn't talk a lot about becoming a child of God, but I want to encourage you tonight that there's no better decision that you could make. Especially if you're thinking, you know, if you're a parent. It's hard enough raising a parent in this world without being a Christian. I would sooner have the Lord on my side. Hey, by the way, if you want to increase your prayer life, have a child or have grandchildren. I cannot think of the last time I have ever said a prayer privately and didn't think about my kids or the grandkids. Now, I'm not slamming those who don't, but I'm just trying to emphasize that you think about them all the time. And even when they're grown. My kids are grown, married. I don't worry about them anymore. Never stop praying for them that they'll stay faithful to the Lord. Because if they can stay faithful for the Lord, then that will give my grandchildren a fighting chance of staying faithful or being faithful to the Lord. So tonight, and when we stand and sing, if you're subject to the invitation in any way, will you let it be known as we stand together and sing the song that was announced.